The Bird Show.
Everyone's doing a lot, obviously doing a lot of holiday travel. And obviously I did take a plane trip this weekend. And we need to go ahead and make some rules for airplane etiquette because I ran into a couple of trouble spots on my airplane.
People are getting more rude, I think, on planes now.
Yeah, not even, yeah, just inconsiderate. Very inconsiderate. Can I go ahead and just start the rules?
Sure, let's all try to contribute to these because I think we all have these kind of gripes.
Definitely chime in a couple.
All right, rule number one, use your indoor voice. Nobody needs to hear your whole conversation from the front of the plane.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Who did you have that was like that? Was totally a drunk person?
No, she wasn't even drunk. She just wanted everyone to hear her life story and how great of a marathon runner she was. She was just terrific.
And you were like, shut. I could care less about your running skills.
I could care less. But you could literally, like, she was like rows behind me. And you could hear this entire conversation, how she spoke Spanish or she was trying to speak Spanish. But she was a great runner.
Now, was she speaking to somebody next to her or was she on her cell phone?
Speaking to someone next to her.
Okay, because I know the cell phone loud talkers are even worse on a plane also.
Mm-hmm. Just someone next to her. So, indoor voices.
Can I expand upon that? Because as long as we're talking about talking.
Right.
You need to learn to read the signs of the person next to you. The stranger next to you. And if they are not willing to engage, stop trying.
Yes.
Hands
yes.
folded the way Jeff's
yes.
are right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Reading when you get to your seat. We're reading. We're not really reading. We're looking at the magazine to indicate to you that we don't want to talk to you.
Right. I'm trying to memorize the picture.
If my iPod earbuds are in my ear, that means don't chat
don't
with me.
Absolutely.
When I was flying back from Los Angeles, I forgot my iPod.
Oh.
But I wore the
dude.
Headphones.
Tragic.
Good for
good. Good.
Did you plug them into the side of the arm?
I had them. I had my bag on the floor, and I just had them into the bag.
Yeah,
I put the zipper tight around it, and I just leaned that back and left them in.
If I'm not giving you eye contact, that means I don't want you to talk to me.
Read the signs.
Yeah.
Okay, and rule number two. Actually, going to San Antonio, I had a seat near the front of the plane and needed to move because the family needed to sit together. Blah, that was fine. So I moved to the back of the plane and sat on the aisle seat. Well, there's two larger people next to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm literally off the seat the entire time. So just be considerate of the person sitting next to you.
Were they like hogging the armrest and all that stuff?
He didn't want to put the armrest down.
He needed the room.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
And I had no room, so I'm like literally half my butt is off the seat the entire plane trip. That's a 2.5 hour trip.
That's not cool.
Maybe offer me a window. I don't know. So
you're saying is that the plane's responsibility? Because I mean, obviously, if he was a larger person, you're saying that he couldn't have done anything about.
Well, he could ask to put like the armrest down, or if I was comfortable, I don't know.
You got to set that border. The armrest always has to be down unless it's mutually agreed upon.
Down.
That's
yes.
rude.
And then if he can't put it down, then you should have called a flight attendant and just said, listen,
that's my
can't.
Concern that he could not physically have that armrest.
Yeah.
Down.
Yeah.
This was a debate for a while there also that if people are so large that they can't fit in one seat and they're sort of like, they're taking up two seats, should they have to pay for two seats on a plane so you don't have to go through that?
I would say yes to that if all the airplane seats were the same size, but you can't tell sometimes. I mean, sometimes you're on a plane that feels like you got plenty of room, and other times I feel squished in
a seat. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And I don't feel like I'm overweight at all. So as someone that is, I know you'd be squished into some of those.
You know, Canadian courts just ruled that airlines have to give obese passengers two seats. And only charge them for one.
Is that right?
Really?
Really?
Wow.
That's a good idea.
I think that another rule needs to be common courtesy for older people, for elderly people. It drives me crazy when I see like a young man, like maybe in his mid-30s or whatever, just in a hustle to try to get out and not helping like a 70-something-year-old woman get her suitcase down from the overhead bin. And she's obviously either struggling to get it up there or struggling to get it down, like... Zero chivalry. Like, I actually, like, stepped in front of a guy on my flight back from Tampa to help this woman get her suitcase down. Like, excuse me, get out of the way. Like, I'm sorry you're in such a rush. You can't be bothered to help this woman out, but she's obviously struggling.
I think
that infuriates me.
I think it's just society-wide. I think young guys are less and less likely to do that.
Oh, my
anymore.
Gosh, that just made me so mad. I was like, you're an able-bodied person. Help her.
It's the same with the train on the way to the plane also. Like, if you're sitting down and somebody over the age of like, well, I don't know, 70, 70, you can just tell by looking at them. They need your seat, man. Get up.
Yeah, let them sit down.
Matter with you.
Or I even say people with children. I always get up for people who have kids or they're struggling with strollers and toddlers and babies and all
Agreed.
That stuff. It's like, here, you need more space to sit or whatever, you know?
There's some deplaning etiquette that people seem to like not pay attention to anymore also. There's a reason why the aisles go 1 through 30. And when we're getting off the plane, this is how it goes. One gets to go out before two.
Yes.
Aisle, you know,
yes.
Row two gets to go out before three.
Yes.
Three gets to go out before four. If you're in seven, you're not allowed to skip up to four.
Actually, I don't really agree with that.
Why?
I think
you're thinking connecting flights?
If it's your final destination, I think you hang back. If the person next to you, like if Jessica and I are like center and window and we're in Atlanta, we'll let most of the people go.
I can agree with that.
Until there's a big gap, because I've been that person who's got 30 minutes to connect on a flight and I'm not familiar with the airport and it could be some crap place like freaking Dallas who makes you get on a helicopter to go to a freaking different part of the airport because that airport sucks my butt. So it could be that airport. But so I will always hang back because there's nothing. I feel panicked for the people that I see running.
I think that's that's part of the etiquette. Also, is that if this is your final destination, you do got to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
But those
but
you've seen those others.
Don't take advantage of that. I think that a lot of times the plane, you know, sometimes the pilots do know that they have passengers that are running short, and but on plenty of planes where they made the announcement for, you know, these people to be able to go through. But don't do it just because you want to get you're trying to get to the, you know, get to your car or get to whatever. And
just ready to get home.
Yeah, you're ready to get home. Who cares?
Grey's Anatomy starts at 8.
10 minutes just to, sit there for a second.
Hey, Angela.
Got to get home for Grey's.
Good morning, Angela. You're on Q100. Hey.
Good morning. First, if you're traveling with children, you should be willing to Benadryl your child. Otherwise, you should be willing to give them whatever they want, because there was a lady with a kid behind me, and she kept yelling at the kid because it was screaming and going, no, you can't have it. No. I was going to give it whatever it wanted in about 2 seconds.
You got to control your kids. I have two kids, and I was telling these guys yesterday, I got on this plane from New York to Atlanta, and I have an 18-month-old, a 6-year-old, no problem on a plane. I mean, we could go to Sri Lanka, and he'd sit there quietly as long as there's a DVD in front of him. But the 18-month-old is so sketchy. And we get to our row, and there were three other children, all the same age, as roughly the same age as my 18-month-old, and I, as a parent, went into a panic. Because when one kid starts yelling on a plane about 18 months, it's contagious. Like one of them hears, and the other one's like, oh, I can do that? Cool.
And I want to add to that, just because I'm a woman, don't assume that I'm maternal. Because I think a lot of times, yes. Katie and I are two completely different women. Katie is like baby whisperer. She sees a baby in a mile radius, and she knows a baby's around. But I think a lot of times mothers too, if they're having a hard time with their kid, and I sympathize. So I'm not saying that, you know, parents are totally to blame. But I find a lot of times if I'm standing there because I'm a woman, she'll ask for my help, which is fine. I'll help her. But then in times on a plane where the baby's looking at me and wants to cry or talk or whatever, or pull my hair, you know, because I'm a woman, sometimes the mother will allow the baby to continue doing that because she assumes I think it's cute.
The game of peekaboo that the kid plays between the seats. Yeah. All right, let's all agree. 30 seconds, and then you got to
get
and
out. And out.
Cute for 30. Cute for 30.
I do have more maternal instincts, so I would say cute for 3 minutes.
Oh, way
30 seconds.
Too long.
No,
3 minutes. 30 seconds.
I give them three.
But I'm sorry, parents, but I don't think your child is as cute as you do. I really don't. I never do. I'm sorry. I never
Save
do.
That too. Yeah.
This will cause you to panic, Melissa, but I was on a flight a couple years ago where the mom had to go get something. You know, I have to put the stroller down below. And she had to go get something out of the stroller and ask me to hold her kid.
Oh, no.
So I go,
you're
no
a stranger.
Problem. And so she gets up to go, and I'm sitting there, you know, bouncing the kid, doing whatever. Then the crowd forms, and I see her stuck. Then the kid starts to cry, and it's not even my kid. And I'm like, give me a pacifier. Give me anything. So I found, like, the guy in front of me smoked, so I got some cigarette butts and taped them together and let him suck on that.
Yeah,
for a few minutes.
On that. It's a good idea.
Like MacGyver.
I told these guys, my 18-month-old has great timing. Everything's fine. We change his diaper before we get on the flight. Then just as the flight starts rolling down the runway for takeoff, he craps himself. And as a parent, there's nothing you can do, man. You're not allowed to get out of your seat. Everybody is stuck with my kid's butt for the next 10 minutes until you're at a height that you can actually move around. That crap smell goes all through the plane, and I knew it.
But there's, you know what?
There's two kids in front of you.
Yeah, there's like, five other people around.
Yeah, they didn't know where it came from.
Nobody knows.
Could have been any of the other three kids or the two senior citizens.
I think I even looked at Stacy, and I'm like, did he just crap himself? She's like, do not say a word because the others around us don't know it's him. Keep the face,
man. That's when you look at the other kid and give that look, like you know, as an adult, you know when you've done, you know, passed a little bit, and you look at the other, you know, you look around, like who's doing that?
Right.
And it was you the whole time. Come on, you know you've done it.
Overly exaggerated. Who the hell did that?
Oh wow, what's that?
You guys smell that?
Jennifer was calling up to say, don't take down someone else's stuff from the overhead unless it's yours.
Yes,
yes.
I would also say, don't put your jacket up there. Put your jacket below the seat in front of you and allow somebody else to put their suitcase there.
Agreed. If you're taking up space,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
Oh, this is a good one here. This bugs me too, man.
That means you're about to curse, right?
Yeah, that one bugs me because I am like devout to trying to carry on instead of check stuff. So it drives me crazy when people put their like little shopping bag up there. I'm like,
yes.
I got a full suitcase.
Yeah.
Put your shopping bag on your lap.
Jasmine wanted to say, when you get up, don't use the seat in front of you for help.
Yeah. Yes.
That one drives me nuts.
Don't pull yourself up with my back.
Yes.
Oh. And then they always catch some hair. You grab the seat and they always catch my hair.
Is it fair to issue one for the pilots and flight attendants that we're not on a tour. I don't care what city we're over.
I like that.
Oh, I hate that.
It's distracting.
I'm trying to sleep and I don't need to hear. And if you look out the right side of the plane, you see the Grand Canyon.
I never see what they tell me to see, and it's always on the other side of the plane. So.
Everybody on the left side of the plane, you've got nothing to look at. And losers.
Random sidebar, if you fly Delta, isn't that woman who does the instructional video at the beginning oddly robot-like?
She was getting so much press, I thought the whole thing was really sort of annoying.
I remember her.
The cheek... Uh-huh. You can't... Oh, my God.
Redhead with the cheekbones.
The redhead with the cheekbones.
The no smoking.
She's like a Stepford wife. Like, she's like a little bit robot-ish.
You, too, will be part of the Delta family. Just wait a second.
Shouldn't there be some consistency?
I'm like, you are a Scientologist.
Get it. The Bird Show.
So a few nights over the past, like, 30 days, I've had a really kind of freaky dream experience.
Okay.
And I don't even, in the dream part, I don't know if this makes any sense, but I had a freaky nighttime experience. I don't think it's a dream, but I wake up and I'm convinced someone is standing over the bed looking at me. And it's to the point where, like, three out of the four times it's happened, I've actually leaned up and I actually swing my arm trying to touch whatever it is that's looking at me, like to see if it's Jessica or.
And you're unclear if you're dreaming this or if your eyes are actually open.
I'm 99% sure I'm up. Like,
and there's something just hovering over you?
There's something looking at me. Like,
is it Jessica, maybe? Like, oh
no.
My God, I can't believe I married this guy.
she does that when I'm awake.
She leans over him going, stop snoring.
But, like, I can't recognize what it is. And then...
That's scary.
And then couple that, like, I had a really freaky night. The night before I told you guys about it was really weird because as I was falling asleep, you know when you're in that really fun stage where you're half awake and half asleep?
And you're having all sorts of weird, bizarre dreams?
Yeah. Like, I had a weird little thing that was filled with, like, demons.
Ooh.
It was freaky. But I didn't wake myself up. Like, I was cool with it, but it was freaky.
Didn't producer Tracy stay at your house one weekend and she swears that your house is haunted?
Yeah, but it didn't all happen in my house.
Okay.
It's happened at different places.
So the ghost is following you.
If it's a ghost, I don't know what it is.
Did you have this dream as a kid?
I think so.
So you've had this...
I never remember my dreams. That's why I don't think it's a dream. Ever. Mm-hmm. Never. If I remember a dream, it's rare occasion.
Does it feel familiar enough that you think that you could have had this dream like... more than over just the last month? Or you think it's a new phenomenon?
I would have to say it's new only because I don't ever remembering my dreams.
Why do you ask, Jen?
Because I was just talking to a friend yesterday or day before yesterday about recurring childhood dreams. Like in how there are just recurring dreams that you have from the time that you're a little kid. And we were talking about the ones that freak us out and that sort of thing. And then I was telling him about this book, Eat, Pray, Love. You know, the one I've read 400 times?
Yeah.
And there's this part when she's in Indonesia, you know, the parts of the book where she goes to Italy anyway, she goes to
just
Italy.
Just because he watched that Traveling Pants movie doesn't mean that he's,
that's true.
Like, he's not reading all the chick flicks.
That's right. He's on Twilight right now, so he doesn't read Pray Love.
Exactly. I'm
like, he skipped over Elizabeth Gilbert, your friend on Twilight. Well, anyway, so there's three sections of the book. One, she goes to Italy, then she goes to India, and then she goes to Indonesia. And in Indonesia, she seeks out this medicine man, and the medicine man tells her a Balinese like tradition about like what those bad dreams are about, and she specifically had the same dream as you, somebody looking over her, and in Bali they would say that it's one of your four brothers that's protecting you, so not to be scared of it.
So there you go.
I'll tell you what, I'll go to Bali searching for that dude for you,
yeah,
and bring him back for you if that's what I got to do. I'll write off the whole trip
for 4 months.
I got to be honest with you, I was so excited when you said it was in a book. I'm like, I can't wait to hear what it is. And now I'm disappointed. That was dumb. Come up and make something else up.
I was trying to like really paraphrase it, like, and make it small, because I know you guys would make fun of me. But it's a much longer, like real tradition of these people. So
what else do you need to hear? She's telling you to go to Bali, man.
Yeah,
I work for the chick in the book.
Yeah.
He's an only kid, though. He didn't want siblings. He's like, four brothers. What?
Brothers?
You mean I have to share?
I'm not sharing.
It's just funny that came up.
Strickland, you have some advice for Jeff?
Hello.
Hi. Yes, sir.
Yes. I've heard that if you acknowledge it and while you're awake there, and tell it to go away.
Are you a Balinese medicine man by any chance?
Do it now.
I know y'all make fun of
that. Nah, good.
Just tell it to go away, sir.
Do what now?
Tell it to go away. Tell it to go away.
I love that phrase.
What?
Do what now? Are you a Balinese medicine man? Do what now?
Ashley, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Yeah, Jeff, I just wanted to tell you that I have the same exact thing, and my mother actually has it, too. It's a man that stands over and watches us, except for I'm awake, but I can't move, and I can't scream, and it's just the weirdest, most bizarre thing.
Do you see something, or are you just, like, feeling an energy?
I see something. I see it. It's a black a man that has a black trench coat.
Okay,
and it's an older man.
Could it be just a neighbor?
Jeff,
what
is I don't think so.
Jeff,
no.
Jeff, what's your man wearing?
Yeah.
It's not like, it's just the.
Does he have a trench coat?
You sense it, but you don't see anything.
Yeah, it's shadows and it's red and black.
Really?
Like, it's I can see colors.
It's
like,
it's so a
Georgia face paint on.
Yeah.
Filter Anna.
Get rid of it.
Hey, Kim, you're part of the Burt Show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, you all.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
When I used to live in Virginia, no matter where I was at, I've had that, no matter where I lived at, I've had that same exact feeling that there's a presence there. And a lot of times, it feels like it's a bad presence. I don't know if do you feel like it's a bad, like a bad sign that that person should not be there?
Nah, it just feels like creepy. Like,
really just like.
Like, I don't feel scared, really.
Well, you're throwing punches at it, though, didn't you say?
No, I'm just reaching for it to find out if like there's really a person there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of my classmates actually told me, she was an older lady. She was like, you know, whenever that happens, Kim, just think about good things. Think if you believe in Jesus or, you know, or whatever religion you believe in, think about positive things that things will not hurt you. And eventually, like after a while, they would just kind of, I would just focus my mind on good things that would kind of go away.
Do you think that you feel like it's a bad thing only because it's like it's something I guess you're trained to think if somebody's in my bedroom, it's a bad thing? You know what I'm saying? Like it may
I've
not be a bad
that
thing.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like any panic or fear.
If somebody's in your bedroom,
it's a good thing.
Just somebody signing up to be there is a good thing.
Even if he's a man in a black trench coat, it's a good thing.
And to what that lady said, I only like to call on God or Jesus if I need money or help.
Right.
I don't like to.
Or if my team's about to kick a field goal with a second left.
Yeah. I don't
receive the Oscar, then I think about it.